Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 6th of February, recording at 9:22 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights. Not surprisingly, the Asian markets were weaker today following the downward dynamics in Europe and the USA yesterday. European stock markets today, though, rallied after sort of a mixed start, and they were helped by early gains on Wall Street, but those were largely reversed. In other words, the Dow up 122 at one point, but closed down 65, and markets in Asia may not like that too much. A number of them are closed now, including China, for the Year of the Rat celebrations. And elsewhere, now government bonds were a bit weaker in here today, although the U.S. markets paired losses. I'm talking about bond prices. But the U.S. markets paired losses as the stock market weakened. And the U.S. dollar is a little bit steadier in here. Precious metals rallied quite sharply, but gave up some of those gains as Wall Street weakened. But we still see spot gold, for instance, at 900. That's up nearly $12 now, right now. And we had another strong gain by platinum, which continues to lead on the upside, and silver, not a bad performance, up 18 at 1652 and a half on the March contract at the moment, but it had been as high as 1670. That's the volatile one, of course, or the most volatile one. In the crude oil weakened here, 87.14. That's down 127. And industrial metals were all stronger today. Grains and beans, we had small declines for soybeans and corn, but wheat was limit up again. I bought a little bit of wheat, and I don't like to pay up for these things too often, but it has broken up out of a fairly large trading range. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, still nervous times for stock markets. That's hardly surprising. We had shock and awe on the downside, acceleration. We had the climactic selling. We had the short covering rebound. And some of the high-profile indices, such as the Dow and the S&P, some FTSE, and that's the UK, of course, had rallied back or had retraced approximately 50% of their losses if you include intraday highs and lows, and rallied back to the underside of those large overhanging trading ranges, and they backed away, not surprisingly, but they backed away sharply. And so I think we're going to, I think what we are now seeing is that pullback, that predictable pullback after the short covering rally, and this will lead to the moment of truth. In other words, will most of these stock markets find support near or above those lows that we saw last month? And most of those lows are on the 22nd of January. If they find support near or above those lows, and then go back into rally mode, then we will be able to conclude quite reasonably that demand from new buyers is overwhelming the short selling that we certainly saw yesterday, and no doubt some long selling as people had an opportunity to sell out at higher levels than they'd seen only a couple of weeks earlier. Now, if the bears are right and the bears are in the majority, you can side with the majority or regard that as a contrary indicator. But if the bears are right, then we will see breaks beneath those November 22nd lows, and they won't be immediately reversed. In other words, markets will break down and maintain those downward breaks, reaffirming the overall downward trends that we had seen previously. Now, among the various different arguments, well, I've pretty well covered many of them. There are the fundamental arguments, but the ones that will impress me more are the technical and behavioral ones. The fundamental bearish arguments can be viewed as a contrary indicator. Of course, there are problems. That's what's caused the markets to move downwards in the first place. There are also some pretty good valuations around there, and Owen has produced the tables, which make interesting reading, showing P/E ratios for the world stock market indices and also dividend yields. And a number of those yields are up over 4%, and there are a number of stock markets currently showing or currently trading at P/E ratios below 10, single figure P/E ratios. Now, you'd have to adjust those up a little bit if you're pessimistic about corporate profits, and certainly with some good reason, at least as far as the Western economies are concerned. Number of bears have said we have not seen enough climactic action. Well, what's enough? Depends how you look at it. No, VIX didn't get up to 50. Might have done so if the US hadn't been closed on the 21st of January. But it didn't. It got up to 37, which was high, but there have been higher levels. And the statistics that impressed me the most, like, well, the real eyebrow raiser was the fact that short interest for January got up to 3.7% on the New York Stock Exchange, and that was the highest level since 1931, according to that Bloomberg item that I posted yesterday. So that certainly looks interesting. The insider buying for the first time since 1995 was also interesting. But it's the price action that rules in here. And as I say, we will probably have a good idea one way or another before long, whether as to whether markets are vulnerable to a further move on the downside or have already bottomed and are in the support building process. Meantime, it's probably prudent not to be too aggressive one way or another. When I say prudent not to be too aggressive, that means both in terms of selling short, as some of you inevitably do, and also in terms of being too aggressive on the buy side. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, if the pessimists in terms of global growth are correct, then those yields can go a bit lower, and they certainly won't rise all that much. But remember, you've got U.S. 10-year yields at pitiful levels, and that spike, and then back in January, I think they fell down to the 330 level, so below the current rate of inflation. And I would expect that sector, I would expect the long-dated government bonds to be vulnerable. Should the stock market lows hold and a further rally take place? Incidentally, a colleague, Mark Glowry, has been pointing out that there's some good values emerging among the better quality corporate bonds, and they certainly yield a good deal more than the long-dated government bonds. Among currencies, the dollar had that good upper dynamic after a test of its range low yesterday, and a little steadier in here today. It's very much in a range-bound phase overall. But if you assume, as I do, that we're going to see Well, we're going to see the mother of all reflations by the Fed. And I know the Fed was late in moving in that direction, partly because it didn't want to be tainted by the serial bubble blowing accusations that Greenspan his reputation has been tarnished by. But I think the rapidly deteriorating state of the U.S. economy, the very weak stock market, the deflationary risks that were rising quite rapidly as a consequence of the burst housing bubble, and the weak stock market, and most of all, the banking crisis, causing financial institutions to stop lending. That is much, much more serious than the inflationary problems. Now, will the mother of all banking, sorry, the, will the mother of all inflations, reflations by the Fed, let me get that right. Will the mother of all reflations by the Fed be inflationary? And the answer is yes, but that's not the serious problem at the moment, as I have emphasized. We have what has been dubbed agriflation, that's food prices, and that's got nothing to do with Fed policy or the US dollar. That's a global problem of supply and demand. And we have the energy price inflation, although that has abated somewhat, abated a little bit. And that's not something that can be checked by monetary policy very easily. So for the US, it's clearly heading for some form of or a degree of stagflation. But I do expect the Fed, and I expect the White House, both this White House and the next occupants, the next administration, to focus heavily on fiscal spending here to prop up the US economy. So, yes, there will be inflationary consequences down the road later on. And where those actually bubble up, it will be interesting to see. The markets will tell us, but at this stage, we can come up with a short list. I certainly don't think it'll include property prices, at least not Western property prices, where we've seen the burst bubbles. One candidate, I think, is that all that reflationary effort should certainly cushion downside risk for stock markets, and could quite easily create some bubbles in the faster growth economies, the performing emerging markets. What else to mention here? Industrial metals looks like support building for most of them, and I do expect higher levels. I think China's demand for metals is going to be really quite strong this year, all the more so because of production delays due to the bad weather that we saw in China. And the demand for metals is going to be high pretty well everywhere around the world. And that's a theme, as you know, it's one of the key Fuller Money themes, going to run and run. Precious metals, had a better day in here today, as I mentioned. I think we're in a mature stage of this medium-term upward move within the long-term secular bull market. So I don't think the highs are in for this rally phase, but as I say, it's mature stage of this medium-term rally, and then we can expect, judging by the patterns that we've seen over the last 5, 6 years or so, then we can expect another multi-month consolidation phase before the bull market is extended once again. And I think that's pretty much it. So, watch that stock market activity. It's bound to be interesting. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.